You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 401. We've got our winners from last week's giveaway that we did, and it's game week. Randall's here as well. We're going to talk about Brian Kelly's press conference from last week, talk about some of the Notre Dame's commits, how they're doing in their high school football games, a little bit of NFL news, and that should pretty much have us covered.
Yeah, it's only 5 days till kickoff, so it's hard to believe that we're actually here and our next Monday podcast will be a recap of a Notre Dame football game.
I know. I can't wait.
Here's something to start out with. Since I'm guessing a lot of you say you watch Game of Thrones, or at least pretend that you did because it's the cool thing to do right now. So you'll understand this tweet, but a Twitter account that I've talked about before named Fake Big Harry, which it has a picture of Harry Heast in. The tweet just said, "Don't understand why everyone says winter is coming. It's in the 70s today in South Bend. Don't people read the newspaper anymore?" And it's like shaking my head. Anyways, if you give that a follow, I'd love to meet the guy that actually runs that Twitter account because he does a pretty good job. If you know Harry Heaston, watch some of his interviews. he does a good job of that. But anyways, I found that amusing.
Randall, you were at Notre Dame's finale of the New and Gold, what was the whole week? They had a name for the whole week. It was the New and Gold game, and then Flicks on the Field. But I thought the whole week had some kind of a name. But anyway, you were there Friday night when they showed Rudy at Notre Dame Stadium, and you took your son there. I saw you he was on the Jumbotron for a little bit. How did that happen?
They actually had a hashtag that they were showing in the stadium. That you could use and you get your picture put up on the Jumbotron. So he got it. It was the start of his highlight reel on the Notre Dame Jumbotron at 2 years old. Anyways, it was a great time. I was glad we went. The field, I was a little shocked there weren't more fans there. It was basically students. The students got to sit out on the field, and it was full. Obviously, they had the south end zone. I don't know if they started at the 20-yard line where they started seating the students just because you don't want to get too close to the Jumbotron. And the field was completely full. There were a couple players out there watching as well, mostly freshmen. The guys that were out there were freshmen, so I don't know. Surely they've watched Rudy before if they've committed to Notre Dame. But anyways, it was just a cool experience to watch the movie at the location where the movie is about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be for any movie, actually. Like, how often does that actually happen? But, you know, everybody was cheering and clapping whenever, you know, when he found out he was allowed to, or he had good enough grades to get into Notre Dame and just different things like that. But a lot of the fans that were there watching it were older people. There were families there that obviously, you know, this is one way to get to Notre Dame. You can bring all the young kids. There's a lot of young kids there because you don't have to buy an expensive ticket for a kid that probably doesn't care about the football game. But then there was older people there, and they're obviously very into the movie. But it was a great experience. In the end, when obviously Rudy tackled the quarterback, is my pen squeaking?
It is.
They showed, like, on the video board,
the ribbon.
The ribbons on the side. It showed, like, the play on there, like the, you know, Rudy sack for 4 yard loss, and then they had the score just like it would have been on the scoreboard, like everything. So that was pretty cool. That as soon as it happened, they showed that on the ribbons, and so it was a cool experience.
How was the sound like? Because when we were there for the practice, there was some echoing going on.
Yes,
and that I know that is going to happen. But I don't know if they improved on it.
Yes, there is some. It sounds like one in the stadium is a little behind the other end. It's basically what it is.
Wasn't it just
But it would be echo back, because yeah. So The other thing is, I'm hoping they don't have the sound, that they have it turned down because the stadium isn't completely full of fans. But all this stuff I've heard about how loud this is, it's been very underwhelming so far. But hopefully they just have it turned down. I don't know. I'm guessing that's what it is. But it's not like you go in there and you're blown away by the sound. Maybe my expectations were too high because the stories I heard about neighbors hearing it, you know, a couple blocks away and whatever. I guess we'll have to wait and see for game day. The one cool thing is all the TVs that they have outside the same, like if you go out to get snacks, there's, you know, while you're waiting in line, there's five TVs there to watch what's happening in the game. So it might, if you go get a snack during the game, people will be distracted because the line, there's a huge gap in the line because people are like standing there watching the movie and they're like, oh wait, we've got to move up. So you can go get snacks and you can still see what's happening.
I'd probably just stay there and just watch the game from there.
Oh my word. You got to get in. It's the atmosphere. It's people yelling and screaming and excitement of being at the game.
People, listeners probably think I hate being at Notre Dame games. And I was at the 2012 Stanford game.
Is that the last game you were at?
I thought I went to one after that, but maybe not. But that was awesome. Like, I really, really enjoyed it. I'm glad I went. Anyway, let's move on then. Brian Kelly did have the press conference last week. We had some Twitter questions or comments that we're going to talk about as well, and we'll get to those. But first, let's go through the different position groups and hit on the points that Brian Kelly talked about. Oh, our winner. I forgot to mention that. The winner of the Irish Sports Talk hat, the Twitter winner is Trey at Trey underscore underscore 3 or LLL or III. And I sent him a message, so respond back with the information we need, and we'll get you, your hat sent off to you. And then the Facebook winner was David Yoder. And we'll take care of that. So we'll probably do some giveaways throughout the year. So it's usually, they'll be pretty easy to do. Probably a retweet or a share of the post on Facebook. Let's move in then. Let's talk about the offense. And let's just start with the wide receivers, because I wanted to play an audio clip from Brian Kelly. And it's he was asked a question. We'll start with Stefferson. He was asked about Stefferson, and probably you guys have probably seen the tweets if you're on Twitter, or you've maybe read an article about it. But here's the question, and then Brian Kelly's answer when he's asked about Stefferson. And then there was actually two questions, and we'll get both of those. But here was the first comment, question and comment about Stefferson.
Can you provide some clarity on Devin Stefferson's situation?
Yeah, I think the clearest picture that I can give you is kind of the consistent message that I've been giving everyone, is that we're not going to put you in a competitive situation or on the field based on your talent. You've got to exhibit the traits that we're developing in our players, and those traits are coming along. He's making progress, but his attention to detail, his focus, you know, all of the traits that we require all of our players to have, he's working on, and he's getting better. When he exhibits all those traits, he'll find himself on the field.
So he's eligible to play.
All of our players are eligible to play under those circumstances.
All right, so that was the first question and comment. He's making progress. He's starting to exhibit those traits. And the question at the end was, and so he's eligible to play. The answer, all of the players under those circumstances are eligible to play. Later on in the press conference, I need to scrub through here. Give me one moment. Okay, so here's the next question about Stefferson. This is towards the end of the press conference.
I apologize for being blocked on this. I mean, out in cyberspace, the word is that Kevin Stefferson is suspended.
And I know it's really quiet, and it's because the they didn't have a mic there for the reporter, but he was asked, he made the comment that outside there's rumors that Stevenson is suspended, and then he asked, can you confirm or deny that?
Can you confirm or deny that?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
So, the Stevenson situation continues to be crystal clear.
Well, later I heard the first question was asked by, not Pete Sampson.
It was from the South Bend Tribune, right?
No, Blue and Gold. And they later was clarified that Brian Kelly understood him as saying, is he eligible? I mean, are they eligible to play? And he was like, yes. That's what they found out later.
Okay.
Well, then I think that other question.
I could see Brian Kelly just answering that question because he does kind of not like to show. He doesn't like to say more than he has to.
Sometimes. Well, he has to say that because if he would say, yeah, he's eligible this time, the next time when he says, I can neither confirm nor deny, they're going, ah, he's not eligible. I think. Yeah, it does throw it into question. And I was one that has said all summer that I think there's something going on. But at this point, I think it's just down to Stevenson just isn't doing what he needs to do. The attention to detail. I mean, you've heard it from the players. You've heard it from coaches. They never really mention his name, but there's obviously someone that isn't doing that. And right, that's my take on it.
Yeah, I wanted to play it just so we can hear it.
Yeah.
Michael Young, Brian Kelly said that, you know, EQ is a great talent, a great player. And then the other guys that he's mentioned before, they flash greatness, and they all have attributes or have traits or things that they really like about them. And at this point, they're going to give a lot of them opportunity. And even Brian Kelly mentioned that, but towards the end, or at some point, someone will probably emerge. And I do think that's probably the way it's going to go, that they probably are going to cycle through a bunch of these wide receivers through the first few games. But I think by the midway point, I think we'll have a pretty clear who the number ones are and who the number twos are.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be even before the midway. I think it's going to be two or three games maybe.
Yeah. He did say Michael Young, his unique talent that he brings is his explosiveness, and it's something they do have some plays that they're going to be using to try to get him some action, get him the ball. So that's exciting for him, true freshman coming in, and definitely has made an impact this fall.
So are you going to make a prediction who the number two guy will be?
Okay. Well, we already talked about earlier. I had said I think Stevenson is going to be the second most productive wide receiver. I should have put the date. Oh, I did put the date.
7/31, July 31st.
July 31st. I had said that.
It was right before fall camp started.
I am much less sure about that now. Still could happen. I'm just less sure about that. So you asked who I think is going to be the second most productive receiver.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm going to pick the same guy that you're. I'm sure you're going to pick Randall, and you definitely caught on to this earlier than I did. But Cam Smith, Brian Kelly was talking early and often about the fifth year transfers, but mostly about Cam Smith, knowing the offense, and he has a lot of experience. He's done it, and he's been a mentor to some of the younger receivers that are either freshmen or younger receivers as well.
Yeah, I think at this point, I mean, here's the thing. I think he's going to get a shot at it at the beginning of the game. I mean, he's going to be playing right away. Beginning of the year. And so if he can make plays, he'll be staying there. It'll be harder for the other guys to get out on the field. I'd say the one guy that I think could push him out of that spot would be Chase Claypool.
Yeah, Chase Claypool is amazing. We even saw it, you know, in the scrimmage on Sunday. Incredible talent. Maybe some things that maybe doesn't give 100% all the time as far as
like in practice.
Catching the ball. That's all I've got for the wide receivers. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
tight ends, Mack is healthy, definitely going to play in the Temple game.
Here's what I found interesting, what Brian Kelly was mentioning, or was talking about, Alize Mack. You know, with all this technology that they have, you know, they can see the player load and the GPS, and he says Alize Macks are, like, off the chart. And when they see those numbers, they're some of the highest that they've seen. And so when he's – Brian Kelly said he's very fidgety and high-strung were the words he used. And so even when they do warm-ups and stuff, he's breaking out in a sweat. So that's a good sign. Obviously, whatever he's doing, he's giving 100%. And that's why they have to make sure and watch him. They said he's different than any other player. They have to watch it and be very careful with him because – he's going 100% in warm-ups, and so he could hurt himself even more in warm-ups than another player would.
Yeah.
So that's definitely good to hear that he is giving it his all and that he is raring to go.
In an interview probably maybe 2 weeks ago, he was asked about, you know, I think it was about, you know, he didn't play last year and kind of what his, not really vision, but what he's thinking as far as going into this season. And he just said he does think back, you know, what could have been. And there's all this talk about pro prospect. And then he said he's still trying to, this isn't verbatim, I'm just paraphrasing here, but still trying to prove himself as a college player at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I know you've definitely, you could definitely agree with that, Randall. And he sees it that way too. Frankly, I did say it's TikTok for him.
Yeah, so he used his phrase. The coaches are using it now. And the other thing he mentioned with him is that, you know, he was asked about using it detached from the line, and Brian Kelly said, yeah, he is that guy, you know, that teams, it's going to be hard for teams to cover him because what are you going to do with the tight end detached from the line like that? It makes it easier in the run game. We've got another tight end in there. And so it makes it hard for the defense to decide what they're going to do. Then he also mentioned the other tight ends that could play that detached role would be Nick Wisher and Cole Kmet, which we've kind of seen that. But those are the three guys that were mentioned as detached from the line. So basically Smythe and Brock Wright, you know, are the inline guys, the blocking. And I love hearing that. You know, with all these tight ends in there, it's going to help the running game.
And then offensive line, the biggest surprising was what Brian Kelly said about Hainsey, that they're not going to redshirt him, which shocks me. I don't know why you would not redshirt him unless you expect to play him a lot. Why would you only play him, for example, was it Khalid Kareem or Elijah Taylor where he played 15 snaps as a freshman?
Yeah, Khalid Kareem.
It's not worth it. 15 snaps is not worth it.
Yeah.
So if you're only going to play him, I just don't. He said it. I don't believe it. Not until he's actually out there.
I do, and here's why. I think that they'll try to get him in the game when they're either ahead or in mop-up. They'll try to get him in the game because the thing you have to remember is they're going to be losing the entire left side of the line next year. And so I think they see that he's going to be one of those starters. At this point, I think they believe he's going to be a starter next year on that line. And you've got to get him reps.
I guess,
think this is more looking ahead versus, well, he is very good. Like they say, he looks like a college lineman. I mean, he's the size he needs to be. I mean,
that's the only way it makes sense, because if you're looking at it just for this year, you don't need him because you have Hunter Bivin. You've got a couple guys that can fill in the mop-up duty time. But you're right. If you're looking for next year, having a guy that can be his best next year, it would be better to play him a little bit this year.
And so Nelson and McGlinchey are gone for sure. And then you know, who knows what happens with the other guys? Who knows what kind of year Alex Barnes has or Sam Mustafer? I mean,
that is true.
They're going to have to replace a couple starters next year, and I think they want to get him playing time because he'll be a star. And if he's that good, You know, he can still start for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You would have a 3-year starter. And
all right, you changed my mind on that then.
So I think that's, I think the long term is kind of what plays into that.
Running backs, nothing was mentioned about the running backs. Do you have anything on that?
Not really. I mean, we know we're very loaded at running back, and so it's just a matter of waiting to see who gets playing time and how much.
That's maybe one of the things one of the biggest question marks that I hope to have answered in Temple. And even, I don't even think it will be answered in Temple, because I think it'll change quite a bit depending how the game's going. I think it'll change a lot. If Notre Dame's has a comfortable lead, I don't think we'll see a whole lot of Josh Adams, because there's no need to wear him down. Okay, quarterbacks. I don't really have anything new from there either.
No, I mean,
all right. We did
all of fall camp, we've known who the starting quarterback is, and we're 5 days away from game day, and he's healthy and ready to go. Nothing has happened, so I don't want to jinx that. By the way, I'll throw this in there now. This last weekend would have been, was it 2 weeks ago? Or was it a week ago? This weekend or the weekend before would have been when all those guys got arrested last year. Because it was when everybody got off for the weekend. I think it would have been a week ago, because everybody got off for the weekend before they start, you know, with
preparing for the opening week.
And that's when some idiots decided to go get themselves arrested. So
we had a question on Twitter from @Pexter24, who we met at the open practice a few weeks ago. He had a couple of questions, but the one related to the offense is what we think about points per game for the offense.
Oh, man. This is going to be I still think it's going to be one of the best top scoring offenses under Brian Kelly. I mean, it's going to be right up there.
I think it's going to be easily over 33 points per game.
What was it last year?
I was thinking it was right around that.
Yeah. I think they can match what they did last year, because the running back situation is in even better shape than it was last year. And even though you have an inexperienced quarterback, the run game is what's going to change a lot of it. And with a new offensive coordinator, I think they can match what they did last year.
Here's what it was. In 2015, had an outstanding offense in 2015. 34 points per game. Last year, it was almost 31 points, 30.9 points per game. So I think it'll be closer to the 2015 output. So
I'm going to go with...
And we are going to do over and under later this week. We'll have a podcast doing some over and under predictions. We'll tweet them out so you guys can vote. If you think over and under, we'll do one for points per game and a couple of different things. But right now, my money is on 33 points per game is where I think
I was going to say right in between there, 33 or 32.
Okay, let me see here. Let's move over then and talk about the defense. On the safety, Gilman, the Navy transfer. Brian Kelly said there's still no word, and this is just typical, and this is exactly what I expected. He said no word and not really any time frame. Although the one positive thing, Brian Kelly said that, if they would find out Saturday morning that he's cleared to play, he knows this defense. He is in good enough shape that he would suit up and play. I don't believe that at all. Do you? There's no way, because he also said that moving on here in preparation for Temple, they are giving the guys who they know are cleared, they're giving them more work.
Yeah.
So there's no way that if he's cleared Saturday morning that he's going to play against Temple.
He wouldn't be the starter, but he would play.
He wouldn't even play.
The reason he would play is because of the safety.
Not unless there'd be an absolute situation. Not unless it's a blowout. But unless they're up by 28 points, he's not playing if he's cleared the day of.
I think he would. But there's a good chance we won't find out.
There's a,
I'm surprised. I expected to know because most guys, they know it's about this upcoming season. The NCAA.
That's
does.
Why they want to drag their feet, Randall.
Yeah, but other guys are finding out.
And
which I think is some Navy, of them is don't. Some other ones don't know as well because I just saw that Tristan Hodge was trying to. He wanted to play this year. I'm not sure he's been cleared. When so we, there are some other. I mean, there are other guys. It seems ridiculous that the NCAA can't just figure that out, and why they have to make such a big deal out of it. Just say yes or no.
Yeah.
Simple question: yes or no.
I mean, they'll probably wait until it's late enough in the season that it's almost worth letting him sit out to save another year of eligibility. But it's kind of that question mark. Well, it's almost worth playing him, but we're not sure. And so there'll be that to consider. Brian Kelly did say the underclassmen are moving along, progressing, getting better at their communication as far as the safeties go.
There was four guys that he talked. I mean, Jalen Elliott was the first guy I mentioned. He said he's done a really nice job developing his game, and I think Jalen Elliott will be out there a lot. And then Nick Coleman, he mentioned with him is, you know, he needs to continue to improve his consistency and his tackling, which we've seen that his tackling has been an issue. And then he said Devin Studstill is improving every day. And then you mentioned Isaiah Robertson. It helped that he was here, that he was an early enrollee, and he's learning. And he said all these guys, like you mentioned, work on tackling, communication, you know, communicating effectively. But I think Jalen Elliott and Nick Coleman are going to be the two starters that you see out there.
I agree.
You got Studstill and Robertson and Gilman.
Potentially. I thought there was something else about... I was going to mention safeties, but I don't see that. Julian Love. Brian Kelly was asking, would he be a situational or specialist at safety? And he kind of avoided the question, but said if they need him there, they have him. But doesn't sound like they would use him there, although I could still see them use him maybe in some special lineup versus Navy or something not traditional. And then let's talk about cornerbacks.
Well, there's not a whole lot. I mean, I think Love is going to play at cornerback. I don't think we'll see him at safety much. It sounds like Elliott and Coleman are going to do a good job. I mean, they're doing great at that. And yeah, I think Love will basically be at cornerback. I don't expect to see much of him.
Earlier, Sean Crawford had said that he feels more powerful and explosive than he did before the injury and gave a lot of credit to God and to the strength coaches just pushing him. I mean, he made it sound like he was really pushed, and I mean, it sounded pretty, I don't know, pretty strenuous and something that was very tough to go through, but says he feels great and more explosive than before. So
let's just hope that he can stay healthy.
I know. I just hope he has one injury-free season where we can see his potential. He can get a full season and hopefully, yeah.
And if you don't remember, last year this time we were talking about him being a game changer.
I know.
And it sounds and looks like he's back to where he was. And so we need him to be out there because he was a game changer. I mean, with him and Julian Love, the things they were doing, even Julian Love, the effort he showed and stuff, there's going to be, I can definitely see more turnovers this year just with those two guys. I mean, I think everybody will look better as far as forcing turnovers just because of the defensive scheme that they're using, what they're doing. But Crawford is a guy, I mean, we were talking about him as a game changer last year, and I think he's still that guy.
Linebackers, anything new you wanted to mention there?
No, not really.
All right, and then defensive line. Brian Kelly was asked if everyone is good to go for Saturday against Temple, and then he said, yep, everyone's good to go. Then when Elijah Taylor was mentioned, he said, oh, yeah, he's out. And it was kind of funny. I don't know if he intended
I
to.
I guess he just, I think he just kind of assumed that he's going to be out. Didn't even cross his mind.
Probably not. That. But yeah, Elijah Taylor will be out. And
one thing he mentioned about these guys, he said, he just said he gave a stern talking to the boys about playing nice with each other.
Well, that was, wasn't that the whole team
in
general?
That was the whole team. Basically, he said he was asked they're ready to go for, you know, play a game. And he said, yeah, they've been practicing each other against each other for so long. And I can see that it might get a little chippy because either side of the ball, you know what the other player is going to do. The guy you're going up against, you know what they're going to do, what their tendencies are. Yeah, when we were in high school, we played basketball against each other all the time, and one-on-one was a little bit of a challenge because we knew what the other guy was going to do. And it can, yeah, they're ready for something else.
Well, the fans definitely are too.
Exactly.
Okay. Special teams, I think we've mentioned this last week, but we'll see more frontline guys out there. Brian Kelly said that Polian, he pretty much gave Polian the choice of the roster and said, take whoever you want. Polian mentioned a few guys that he wouldn't be taking, like Drew Tranquil, some of those guys that maybe are a little tougher to replace. But definitely expect to see some frontline players on special teams.
He mentioned Tranquil and
Daylon Hayes,
yeah. Well, yeah, Polian just said he can be the best coach out there, but if he just has walk-ons, you know, you're not going to have a good special teams. So I think they will. And I think everybody wants to see Chase Claypool out there again.
I think the players have bought into special teams, that it can make a difference and that it does make a difference in a championship caliber team. You need good special teams. You can't be giving up, definitely not points, and you can't be giving up field position. You'd be winning the field position battle on special teams.
And we know Chase Claypool's out there because that's who wasn't out on the field, and then we heard Polian yell for, in his raspy voice, he yelled for DJ Morgan to come out and take
DJ
his place.
DJ Morgan!
So, yeah, they'll have starters out there.
All right, Randall, you had mentioned you have some numbers from the recruit or from the high school commits that Notre Dame has, and then also some NFL news.
Yeah, high school games to start. I don't know if you guys have been keeping track or not, but on Sunday, Phil Dracovic, the 2018 quarterback commit, played on ESPN, and they went up against one of the top teams in Ohio. And it didn't look like they were playing against top team because I think halfway through the fourth quarter, it was 41-0 and Dracovic and all the other starters sat for the rest of the game. And it was a running clock. I guess they were up 35-0 at halftime. So it was a running clock. But his final numbers were 283 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 106 yards rushing with 3 touchdowns. He had 6 total touchdowns. And, the big highlight run was a 64-yard run where he stiff-armed one of the guys and scored on that. And I think another one was 20-some-yard touchdown. And he had some long passes, too. I mean, he can throw it deep. This team they were going up against, some of their number in the last 3 years, they've gone 38-4. They've only lost 4 times the last 3 years. And 2 of the defensive players are committed to Division I colleges. I think the one defensive lineman is committed to Kentucky. And then on the offensive side, wide receiver, there's an Ohio State wide receiver commit. So this was a very talented team they went up against, and they manhandled them and made it look easy. Dracovic has looked very good. The other quarterback commit, Cade McNamara, 2019 commit, he had 400 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. So he had a very good game. Then Marquis Stepp, running back from Indianapolis, 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a 74-yard touchdown. So he's a bigger guy, but he showed that he can score on long plays as well.
Man, it sounds like Josh Adams, but don't you always say those long runs? What is he getting on all his other carries, Randall? If he had 75, exactly. If he had 75 on the one carry.
50 yards. I'm not sure how long he played, but that was the second game. His first game, he had 200 yards. Wow. So. Then the other running back commit, Jameer Smith, had 151 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he actually had some plays called back as well. So penalties, I'm not sure what the penalties were. Then Kevin Austin, the wide receiver commit, he had a highlight reel catch. I mean, he was double coverage and was in the end zone. He basically just like reached up over the guy and pulled it away from him.
I did see that clip. That was really impressive. You hear about, you know, receivers going up and getting the ball. Well, he went up and got it.
Yeah. And then on the defensive side, Ovi Ogofu had 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and then he also had 5 receptions for 62 yards. So, anyways, those are just some of the highlights from the commits. They're doing very well. And then as far as NFL, probably all saw that Kaiser was announced as the opening day starter for the Browns. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Okay, to go along with that, I believe this would be considered a internet flex. Is that what you call them? Or what are they called?
Yeah.
There was a comment from Irish Sports Daily had on Instagram, put out a picture of Deshaun Kaiser and said, Deshaun Kaiser's been named starting QB for the Cleveland Browns. And then someone commented, sweet, congrats to the Cleveland Browns on being 4-8. Is that what a internet flex is? You were trying to explain it to me. I don't totally understand it.
The internet flex, that phrase comes from a Cubs podcast, Ivy Envy. If you're Cubs fans, definitely go listen to that podcast. And they read internet muscle flexes, basically.
Okay.
People leaving comments, just random comments to...
But can it be just a dumb comment, or is it usually something where it's boasting themselves up?
I don't know what they're... We should ask them. We've been back and forth with the host. We should ask them what their definition, what their exact definition is. But basically, it's comments that were left under, you know, a tweet about that or a picture. Just somebody... Yeah, just random stuff.
Anyway, go ahead.
That was kind of funny. I hadn't seen that. Then the other Notre Dame quarterback news, Everett Golson plays for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the Canadian Football League. And their new assistant coach is Art Briles, former Baylor coach. So this is his first job since he...
And is he the head coach?
No, he's the assistant head coach.
Okay. Assistant to the head coach.
Okay, Dwight Schrute. But yeah, that's about all the NFL news. All I know is there's a lot of injuries, but it seemed like Notre Dame players in the NFL are doing okay. So,
and there were some more comments here from at Pexter24. He also asked about points per game on defense. So how much is Notre Dame going to be giving up? Last year they gave up almost 28 points per game, 27.8 points per game. And I do think this year that's going to be a lower number.
I think you have a number in mind.
I'm trying to remember what it was last year, and I'll need to come up with an over and under number for this. But I think it'll probably be under 24 points, probably more like 20, maybe 23 points. And I'd like to see it a lot lower than that.
I'm going
to
say 21.
And I'll give you the last few years. So 2016 was... 20. I'm just going to round it to the nearest total, was 28 points. 2015 was 24 points. 2014 was 29 points. 2013 was 22. And 2012 was 13 points per game after Alabama.
In my mind, it's going to be hard to get under 20 just because of how college football is.
Yeah.
Even the, like everybody says, Alabama has an insane defense, and look at how many points they gave up in the playoffs. It's just, it's just different. And I think it's hard to get under 20 points. It's very hard to get under 20 points. But that's what you need. You don't need the defense to hold them to 12. What did you say it was in 2012?
13.
You don't need them to do 13.
No, we went with the offense. We went undefeated. That Notre Dame went undefeated, and we had an awful offense.
That's the problem. There was an awful offense. They had to have that defense. If you can hold a team to 20 points, and you're scoring what we said 33, 34 points
which
a game,
should be. If they score under 30 points, I will be disappointed in this offense.
Yeah.
Any Notre Dame offense, I'll be disappointed. Okay. You also asked what we think the sacks are going to be for this season. Last year, Notre Dame totaled 14 sacks. And just for fun, how many sacks do you think our opponents totaled last year, Randall?
Against Notre Dame?
Yeah. Notre Dame had 14 sacks. How many do you think our opponents, against Notre Dame, how many times was Notre Dame sacked?
22.
28. Double. Wow. Double.
That's bad.
2015, Notre Dame had 24 sacks, so, and in 2014 had 26. Wow. So, I do think, I mean, if this defense is all it's cracked up to be, if Elko is able to get players in positions to succeed, disrupt the football, take away the football, you know, sacks are going to be part of that. And I do remember Brian Kelly last year kind of defending the low sack numbers and saying that they look at, you know, when the quarterback gets pressured, you know, that also is disruptive. And true, but it can still be a completion even if the quarterback is pressured. But if it's a sack, it's a loss of down, it's a loss of yardage.
Yeah. You didn't have Dalen Hayes starting last year. I think Niles Morgan and Drew Tranquil are going to definitely add to those sack numbers. And then you throw in a couple more from the other defensive line, defensive ends.
Brandon Van Gorder came on in 2013, right? No, 2014.
14.
Yeah. Here's what the sack, just to give you an idea, we should have more sacks than any year under Brian Van Gorder, I think.
Regardless
of the player. So in 2014, there was 26. 2015, there was 24. Last year, there was 14. So the highest number was 26. That was the first year under Brian Van Gorder, and it slowly declined. Well, last year wasn't quite so slowly.
Yeah, well, they also lost Jalen Smith, which Jalen Smith wasn't getting the sacks, but obviously you had him on defense.
I don't know. I'm guessing probably somewhere in the mid-20s, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
2012, there was 33 sacks. And then 2011, it was 25. 2010 was 26. So probably mid to upper 20s is probably what I would expect.
Yeah.
And then at Pexter also mentioned that his biggest surprise is how good Jared Tillery has looked. And I agree with that. There's always been questions around his commitment, and I've seen an interview that he's done, and at least he says he loves football and that he is definitely more, I don't know if he used the word excited, but he is more of a football player today than he was in the spring.
Yeah, this was the year that he basically had to decide if he wanted to pursue football or not, because if he kept playing like he did, he wasn't going to get anywhere, and it'd be hard to get back on the field. But it seems like he's focused and determined to make an impact, and he's giving it all his full effort, which he hasn't before. It seems like he's taken plays off. He realizes he's more of a leader now. He's one of the older guys on the team. On the defense, and so I expect him to keep giving his full effort.
And then last question, how do you guys feel about Mike Tirico in the booth? And we had talked a little bit about this when it was first announced, and I guess I don't really remember listening to football games with Mike Tirico, so I guess just I don't know. I don't really have any comment on it. I know he has a great history. I mean, he's done it for a long time, including at very high levels, Monday Night Football. And so he's done it for a long time and done a great job from everything that I've...
Yeah, I think he's a great addition. I'm excited to hear him on quite a few more, on more games this year.
All right, that's all we've got. If you guys ever have any thoughts, you want to chime in or ask a question, you can do that on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, or you can join our forum. It's free, forums.irishsportstalk.net, and you can join the Notre Dame conversation there. Solon had another article for today, and it's over on the website, irishsportstalk.net, and kind of the part two, the previous week's article was about three things Notre Dame needed to improve on the offense, and this one has to do with the defense. Really good read. Head over there and read that. If you have a thought on it, tweet at Solon. Give him your thoughts. And I think that's...
And watch for more episodes. We're planning to do the preview for the Temple game on Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
We'll record.
Yeah. The schedule for the podcast will be on a typical week. Monday will be the recap, and we'll usually do it late Monday afternoon. Wednesday will be the preview for the upcoming game. And then we may also do, this week we'll do an over and under predictions podcast on Thursday. And we may do an additional podcast as well. All right. That's what we've got. Thank you guys for listening. So check back in a few days when we do our preview of Temple. And until then, go Irish.
Go Irish.